Oh, now we're on Steph's vlog.
Hey guys, welcome to my channel.
Please start a cooking show on Twitch.
Banana Daddy?
What are you going to
do? Oh my god, dude.
Kitchen on fire?
Kitchen on fire, yeah. Throw some burning oil around everywhere.
Banana Bread Daddy? BBD. Don't do that.
Don't do what?
You know.
That was god awful. Oh my god, not the ooh woo. Don't ooh woo me.
You've signed off the last five f***ing episodes by calling me daddy. You know, this is what the punishment is.
Daddy.
Please, no.
Everybody, welcome to the Let's Get Gaming podcast, episode 57. Boys, my God, we're getting up there. Hey, this is a video game podcast about video games. We talk about video game news, reviews, and once in a while we do interviews. But you know what? I'm not the only one here. I'm your host, Patrick Dennehy. Join with me in studio. That's right, boys. We're back in person. No, that's not true. We're very far apart, both physically and emotionally.
Just the way I like it.
Yeah. Look, again, we're speedrunning going into... I've put in an official request to have all of our music redone in A minor, just because I think that'll encapsulate the show a lot better. And I don't think I'm alone in that sentiment. And to back me up on this, we got Stefano Fontana.
What do you think we're going to do when we hit our middle-aged episode crisis? Like, what are we going to talk about?
There will not be a difference.
That's true. We're pretty dour. We need to start playing our music in drop D.
Now, speaking about being incredibly dour, we got Pasquale Galuzzo.
Hello!
That did not come out properly.
you've had like 40 minutes of prep time to get that ready.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of anything.
Well, I'm not going to touch that one. You know
that
who
is
else
my
I'm not
gift to
touch?
The audience is my spontaneity.
That's the DID kicking in.
That's the DID kicking in. Yeah, we got Jake taking over right now, which is a spoiler. So don't worry about that. Hey, and we got Chris Monpetit.
Hey.
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing. This week it's a bit of a light week. There wasn't too much pressing breaking news, but we got a couple things to talk about. You know, it might end up being a shorter episode, but knowing us, it might be the longest episode we've ever put out because shit's going to go off the rails. And that's totally fine.
Oh, more than likely.
When there's no structure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's what we pride ourselves on, right? Having no structure, but also like under the guise of having a structure, right? It's pretty much
in my life.
It's light guidance.
So let's do the thing that we've never done before and just talk about what we've been playing for the last week. I'll be honest with you. I made a mistake. I had a boo-boo. Uh-oh. You know, I've still been playing my traditional games. Been playing a lot of Nintendo Switch bowling. Your boy, wow. I genuinely am so close to bowling a perfect game.
I was about to ask if you've gotten one yet.
I have not been able to get it. The maximum amount of points that you could get in a perfect game of bowling is 300. My record is 285.
Wow,
that's nice. Pretty good.
It's not pretty good because it's not perfect. And I will have to keep
horseshoes,
going.
Baby.
Yeah, but other than that, I haven't really been playing too much because I'm in the middle of a little side project that involves completely moving literally everything I own to new locations and everything. So like everything's being renovated. Everything is like, you know, I just haven't had much time to do anything. Hopefully that'll be dealt with soon. I've been playing Mario Kart Tour. I've been playing Pokemon Go. You know, I've been keeping the mobile Nintendo money flowing for my good friends at the Nintendo Corporation. But other than that,
they really need
the
help.
Been doing
so
much. Yeah, they do. They are a small indie company, but
are we going to get some nice before and afters of your?
You know what? Yeah, I'll post some up on the Twitter. You know, sweet, put some in the Discord. You know, send them out. I was gonna, you know, print out some posters, put them around Toronto, right? Then that would help.
Good. Let everyone know what your basement, your address, maybe.
Yeah, honestly, straight
postal insurance
number. If you want to dox me right now, you could find me at a Pasquale. What's your Anyway, but yeah, so I haven't been doing much. I know I said that I'd be playing Lollipop Chainsaw. I forgot that required me to hook up an Xbox
and find a 360.
Yeah, physically, spiritually, I can't do that. So that'll happen next week once I'm more.
Do you actually need an Xbox 360? I maybe can give you my old one.
No, I have an Xbox. I have the original Xbox. I have an Xbox 360. That was the, and then I kind of jumped off from that point. I just like everything right now is a complete mess.
Oh, gotcha.
Everything's all over the place, right? So like getting it hooked up, I could do it, but like it'll be like super ghetto, you know, like the cable will be running across the floor, and like I'll be sitting in like a lawn chair, basically.
That's not normal for you.
No, look, I give off the persona of a garbage person, but deep down, I'm more of a trash man, you know.
Trash man.
That's my favorite wrestler.
That's the best wrestler. You're the wrestler.
Wrestler.
Anyway, Stefano, what have you been playing this week?
I finished the heart wrenching and soul warming Life is Strange: True Colors. I started the DLC, and I'm only further solidified in the fact that Steph is best girl.
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, without a doubt.
I haven't played the DLC. It's still on my list. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So you play as Steph, and you are essentially going through your days. I haven't got super far in it yet. I'm kind of just starting
it. You will never play this game. I'm
playing this next, honestly.
No, you can't play the DLC till after, and there's no real spoilers in it yet that I could tell you. You meet Steph, and she already works at the radio station, so like that's not spoilers there.
Well, it is a prequel, right?
It is a prequel.
I doubt that there's really much that could be spoiled.
But I haven't gotten to it yet. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, so you kind of go through your days hosting the radio show and running the store, answering phone calls, answering callers that call into the radio show. She has a bit where she rolls a dice and a D20 to tell the future of people based on the score of the D20. Yeah, it's good. It's a good one. It's a good one. You get to pick the music you play, so you get to pick records off the wall and play that on the radio. It's like A++. It's a lot of fun. I feel
like this sounds like it was made just for you.
You also get to swipe Tinder. Like, that's part of the game. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. You swipe, like, lesbian Tinder. It's really funny. So it's a lot. It's a good time. It's a lot of fun. She's a great character. And I definitely made the right choice. Only further solidified in that fact.
I'm glad. Well, okay, so tell us. I mean, Pasquale, you know, fair warning. Tell us about the end of the game. How did that emotional gut punch, how are you feeling about the way Life is Strange: True Colors ended? And I guess really, you know, what decision did you make?
All right, so Pasquale can't hear us right now. Pasquale, give me the finger if you can hear me. All right, perfect, good. And everyone on the show needs to know that we are about to spoil Life is Strange: True Colors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I picked to stay.
Okay. So, really?
Yeah, I picked to stay.
You know what? That's a fair thing that you would do, yeah.
Well, how about you? What'd you pick? You picked to
leave. I'm out, dude. I'm and out.
Who's
yeah.
your partner? Who's your?
I took Steph with me.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not leaving her there. After everything that was revealed about that town, I'm not leaving her there. I'm getting the fuck out of there, dude.
The town isn't bad. Just the people that were running it, we got rid of them.
So, speaking of which, okay. So, I mean, I know we're talking about spoilers while trying to be vague about it intentionally here, but did you forgive?
Yes.
The certain person, really?
Yeah, I forgave them, and everyone sided with me.
I destroyed that man.
Yeah, that's fair. But it was hard for me because, like, in that moment, nothing. I don't know. Maybe it was just like I was like nothing. Nothing about destroying him will make any difference.
Yeah,
and I could understand where he was coming from. Not
it would have made a difference to me.
Like, clearly,
he had it too good for too long. You know, and to be fair, I fell for it. Chapter 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, this is the best character. I love this man. You know, and then as things slowly fell apart, I'm like, you know what? It's time to hurt him emotionally.
Did the person that was closest with this man side with you?
Yes.
They agreed with you?
So not only did I do the most chaotic ending, but I swayed the entire town.
Okay. So I swayed the entire town, but
you swayed them with you. I mean, we both technically had the same ending, just with different flavors, you know?
That's exactly
what it comes down to.
Yeah, yours was like chocolate with sprinkles. Mine was just like straight chocolate vanilla swirl.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Always that one. Yeah. Anyway,
But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I recommend it to anyone who's going to play it. It's a lot of fun. Don't worry, no more spoilers, Pasquale.
Yeah, we're good. We're going to be respectful.
Yeah, and I really like the main character. I think also the game is like really beautiful. I don't know what they did to step up their like art budget, but it was way better looking than the other Life is Strange games. Called Big God Sales.
Yeah, who would have guessed that Square Enix has the power to support a decent looking video game in the year 2021?
They can't support any other
games. The remaster of the Life is Strange port to the Switch looks not very pleasant. So.
No, that's also
the Switch's fault.
You know, yeah. The Switch was underpowered when it released 7 years ago. So, to be fair.
I want to play the Life is Strange remastered because I want to see how they improve it.
I was going to say, do you think that's worth it to buy the True Colors with the remaster bundle? Or
just get will you replay the remaster?
I'm thinking, like, would I or would I just have it just to have it? Unless there's, like, a drastic difference.
I feel like it's been long enough since those games came out where I remember it, but through nostalgia, you know?
Did you play the DLC, Pasquale?
Yeah. The first DLC, you mean, like, Before the Storm.
Yeah, Before the Storm.
Yeah.
Chris, what have you been playing?
So I played a little bit of Control again, and my girlfriend's been hogging the TV because she's been playing Horizon, so I've been letting her, you know, occupy the PS5.
Just give me a TV.
Yeah, I could. I mean, like, this is the big one. And and I've actually been playing some older video games. So I started playing Shining in the Darkness, which is a Sega Genesis game. So,
oh goddamn!
Who the Genesis?
Tell us a little bit about that one. I've never heard of that one actually.
So Shining in the Darkness is the first game of the Shining series, which is Shining Force and Shining Force 2 and Shining Force 3. Which
the Shining.
The Shining. Shining Force and Shining Force 2 are probably like two of like my favorite RPGs that I've ever played. So I've been playing the first in this series, which is technically a dungeon crawler RPG, so it's a lot different. Yeah, it's different than your standard like turn-based tactical one where you actually play kind of like in a first person view, crawling through the dungeon tile by tile, kind of like Doom style, but then it's just got random encounters which are
nice,
punishing.
I've been on a little bit of a nostalgia kick. I've been taking advantage of the Nintendo Switch's virtual console for the NES and Super NES, and just like playing through random games that just whatever pops up.
I'm sorry, I gotta interrupt you. The what console?
Nintendo Switch's virtual console for the NES and the SNES.
Ah, okay.
Well, what I do?
You said the Super NES.
Super NES, yeah.
Super Nintendo.
Oh, same thing.
Super NES is totally acceptable.
Yeah, hey, you didn't say SNES, and I'm glad for that.
Super Nintendo.
If I ever say SNES, I want you to shoot me three times in the back of the head.
Got it.
Triple tap.
Super NES is acceptable. SNES is acceptable as well. I'm not going to start debates here.
Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
Sorry, Chris. Stefano very rudely cut you off while you were in the middle of a solid tangent here. So I'd like to apologize for him.
I'm not apologizing.
That was your tangent, bro.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Stefano, how dare you?
that's the only reason why he stopped me, because it was his tangent. So, Chris, you're playing Genesis?
Yeah, I'm playing Genesis. Pat's playing Super Nintendo. It's all good.
SNES, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're a relevant podcast.
Oh, dude. Wait until you hear. So I haven't told you guys what I have planned for this this slow news week, but I found something and I think it's going to be interesting just to see how you all react to it. But before we do that, let's do as is tradition, Pasquale.
I finished Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
Everyone round of applause.
100 years, yeah.
Yep. Woo.
Golf clap,
finally. Okay.
Yeah, and I just briefly started the Legends mode just to see how it is and try to 100% the game, because I got the platinum, but not like 100%ed the trophy list.
So I genuinely, I love Ghost of Tsushima. When I played through the Director's Cut Edition, it was great. Yeah. I did not touch Legends at all, and I still have 0% interest on it. I'm like a Geico commercial for that shit. What is it? Tell me what it is.
So you have like a story mode, but you also have like a multiplayer scenario type of thing. I haven't touched this multiplayer thing. I just did story, where you can pick one of four different classes at least to start. So there's samurai, ronin, assassin, and hunter.
Yeah.
Or like, they're pretty self-explanatory for the most part. Mm. And you just kind of go through the story, which is pretty much just go in, kill dudes, and get out kind of thing.
So there's two modes to it, just to summarize it quickly. One is like you do missions, and then the other one is just wave battles.
Oh, okay. So yeah, this one I'm doing so far is just the missions. You can play with other people, but I've just played it alone so far.
That's interesting, because I thought it was like just a straight up PvP mode.
It's you can do this thing where it's four people and you just do waves and capture points basically and control points. The other one is it's got missions where you have to like reach checkpoints and kill enemies, but like as it gets going, it gets like more complicated and like the enemies are ruthless.
There's new mechanics also, like some enemies like regenerate health if they're in the vicinity of this one specific enemy, so you kind of gotta go figure out a way to kill this first guy without like getting destroyed by everybody else.
There's one where you have to acquire a power that it like the there's like a witch's seal or something like that, and you need to have like the green seal to kill this enemy that has a green glow, and then there's like a red one and a yellow one and stuff like that too.
Yeah, that was like a very popular thing in like the mid PS4 era video games, where it's like you have a big AAA video game, but then it also has like a weird ass side game mode that they put way too much effort into, right? Last of Us had like that whole online, like an online campaign focused around like gaining resources and trying to keep your camp alive. And Uncharted 4 had their whole like online multiplayer, which just didn't make any sense.
It was so
it's been a while.
Do you remember Far Cry? Was it Far Cry 5 or 4? When you could like huff the gas and like it would bring you back to like the So you know how like you're like in like this weird prehistoric time, but like everything's like dark and smoky and like you're having like a weird like drug filled
having an acid trip.
Just a good old romp.
Yeah, it's basically that's the aesthetic that Legends takes place in.
That's incredible.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
Well, and then I'm actually gonna try, man. I have like a weird. I don't like playing against people. You know, I don't like having people involved. It's weird too, because I've just been mainlining bowling, and that's against like 15 other dudes. But I don't know. It's I'll definitely check it out now. Now I have something to look forward to once I actually have access to my living space again. So that'll be good.
Yeah. It's more cooperative than competitive.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I will get those trophies.
We can play together.
It's like Horde Mode, maybe. Right?
There's four of us. We could do it.
Yeah. Well, Steph doesn't have it, right?
Well, Stefano doesn't have a Sony PlayStation because he is. Well,
the three of us, and then I'll get Alice involved, and we can do it all four.
Perfect.
All right. Hey, let's do it. All right. Well, it's a date, boys. You know what? It's a little bit of a slow week. I thought, what better way to celebrate a slow week than by putting the three of you together in a horrible competition to prove which one of you is better than the other two? How does that sound to everyone?
It's my favorite kind of game.
Okay.
Cool. I lose.
So a couple days ago, our good friends, you know, Sony Computer Entertainment's, they put out an official glossary of ultimate popular gaming related terms. Now, okay. I thought this would be like a PR thing, like fellow kids. Like, do you know what a PlayStation is? No. This is like in depth. So I'm going to go in order of how you guys appear on my screen. I'm going to, you give me a letter of the alphabet. I'm going to give you a term and you're going to give me a definition for that term.
Okay.
I want to see which of you guys could get as many as possible. So okay. Chris, you show up first on the list, sir. So what letter would you like?
Let's just go in alphabetical order and give an A.
You want an A? All right. So please define for me the term ARPG.
As in the letters ARPG?
ARPG. Yeah. What does ARPG stand for? Some of these are easy. Some of them are surprisingly obscure.
I'm guessing the A isn't just for like a role playing
game. you are close. You are close. RPG does stand for role playing game, but what does the A stand for? I'm surprised you don't know this genuinely.
Do we get a chance to guess if he doesn't get it?
No, you get your own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to keep it spicy, you know.
I'm trying to think like what the A could be for instead of like aesthetic role playing game.
So ARPG is an acronym for action role-playing game. ARPG is a subgenre of RPG that focuses primarily on combat exploration and character development. Okay. All right. So, Chris, so unfortunately, you did not get that one correct. Okay. Pasquale.
Let's go G.
You want to go with the G, huh?
Sure.
All right. Please tell me, what does GDDR mean?
GDDR?
Yeah. GDDR. I will give you a hint. This is an acronym.
Okay, so I'm going to say... it's something Dance Dance Revolution.
Yes, that's right. Sony put out a list of terminology that includes a specific Dance Dance Revolution phrase, yeah.
Look, perfect. It might.
You never know, yeah.
Get Dance Dance Revolution. I don't know.
Let's get Dance Dance Revolution, boys. All right. Coming soon to an Apple podcast near you. Know GDDR is another acronym for graphics double data rate. GDDR.
I would never have guessed that.
It is a special type of RAM used in dedicated gaming hardware specialized for rendering 3D graphics, also known as GPU.
Okay.
All right, Stefano. Let's see if you can break this hot streak that we're on.
We're gonna go back to alphabetical order. I'll go B.
All right. Please define for me the term bullet sponge.
Wow, thanks. A bullet sponge is usually an enemy, typically one of those like mid-boss enemies that requires tons of bullets with a large health bar to beat, and it's often used to describe cheaply made games who want to make their games difficult by making them bullet sponges.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, I mean, according to Sony, it is a somewhat derogatory term. I'm going to start over. Everybody, welcome to Let's Get Gaming Podcast. According to Sony, it's a somewhat derogatory term that refers to an enemy with a very high pool of health, which can absorb large amounts of damage. So I think you got that one right on the head. Yeah.
Especially the derogatory part, because I did not enjoy it.
It's weird how it's derogatory. It's kind of dirty, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, if you go up to someone and call them a bullet sponge, it's not really the best thing to say to someone, nice, especially in 2022, you know? Never mind America. Hey, Chris, what letter do you want?
Give me the C, baby.
All right. Can you please define for me the term? Oh, my computer's freaking out.
Oh, boy.
Chris, what is a CRPG?
How am I getting all these? CRPG.
I did not know this one before this list.
I know this one.
Of course you do. You're a turbo nerd.
A challenging role-playing game.
That is close. Unfortunately, according to our friends at Sony, that is incorrect. CRPG is an acronym for computer or classic role-playing game. Oh, a CRPG is a subgenre of RPG with roots in traditional Western RPGs, taking heavy influence from tabletop gaming. These often focus on party-based adventures and turn-based combat encounters. You know, like Pokemon. CRPGs. Yeah.
Okay.
Or just an RPG.
RPGs are a little more boring. Like they're a little more.
Well,
slow.
Okay, hold on. I'm taking your point away now. Just for
I like them, but I'm just saying, like, they're a little more boring.
Pasquale,
yes, sir. Let's try a D.
All right, Pasquale's going for the D.
Yeah.
Now this one, you know what? This is going to be It's not really the most challenging one, but
okay.
Can you describe the term de-aggro?
De-aggro.
Yeah.
So to start with the context of it, aggro is to get enemies to attack you. So de-aggro is to try and get enemies to avoid you, essentially, to lose your aggro.
How would you do that?
Run away from enemies, stop attacking enemies, or have your teammate take aggro from the enemies.
There you go. Yeah. De-aggro means to de-escalate a combat encounter by running away.
Yeah, basically, by being on any Overwatch team I've ever played with and leaving me to get fucking obliterated.
That's the job.
Stefano.
All right.
E.
A.
E.
Games. A. Sports.
A. Oh, just fucked that one up. All right, Stefano, your term is Easter egg.
Oh, wow,
that's an easy one. Yeah.
An Easter egg is usually a hidden piece of information, collectible, maybe a thing on a wall that references a gaming memory, terminology, something that would make the user remember, have some remember berries about video games or nostalgia.
Do you have a favorite Easter egg in a game?
I have one.
My favorite Easter egg. I really like all the Naughty Dog ones. My favorite one is probably playing Crash Bandicoot in Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually not really an Easter egg because they put it in there. Really, but it's kind of cool.
But it's like a full level, so.
That's true. You know what it is? It's the Sly Cooper. The Sly Cooper logo in Infamous.
Oh, that is a good one. Chris, you said you had a favorite Easter egg.
Yeah, there's a couple in the Grand Theft Auto series. One of them was in San Andreas, where you find it and it says, "This is not an Easter egg. This is not an Easter egg. Go away."
You shouldn't be here, Lee.
Yeah, and then the other one would have been in Grand Theft Auto 4 when you go to the what is like essentially the Statue of Liberty, and there's like a heart chained up on the inside saying that it's an actual living being.
Jesus Christ. I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I like the vampire mirror one in Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Just, you know, the official definition, a type of secret hidden within a game by the developers that is there as an amusing aside rather than part of the gameplay or story. So, Stefano, I think you got that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chris, this is the start of your...
Give me the FRPG.
You want the FRPG. Okay. What is an FRPG? No.
A failed RPG.
It's a fucking RPG.
Chris?
Give me the F so I can pay my respects.
What is a fetch quest?
Oh, a fetch quest. Easy. That's a bullshit quest that's given to you by a game where you have to go from one point of the map and then return back just so you can do like a meaningless little thing to make it seem like the game is actually making you do something.
See, I was going to say, the only point in a game where I'm okay with those quests is if you have to actually uncover the fog of the map just to like open it up. So it takes you one point to the other. You kind of open up some stuff. It's like, okay. It's just like opening the map for you.
Yeah. So basically... You have to go fetch an item and return it, or you have to go play mailman or whatever.
It's a type of quest in which the player is asked to visit a specific location by a quest giver and bring back a particular item. I mean, like, you know, there's only so many ways to make a game, right? Especially unless it's like a go shoot boy game, right? Like. Mm-hmm. I understand the frustration about fetch quests, especially when it's like literally everything you're doing. But like, I don't know, man. I think our brains are too limited to think of anything else at this point. You know, we've done everything.
I think what's important is making the fetch quest contextually logical to the story
that you're
telling. Like Cyberpunk is really good at that. So I mean, CD Projekt Red in general are just really good at that. Like they make their a lot of times it's just going someplace to talk to somebody. And like do dialogue options, but as long as it contextually is interesting in the story, then it won't feel bad to do that. But like Dragon Age Inquisition was awful about that.
Oh
it was
my
like
God.
Go go get like fucking wool from the sheep and like, there's a fucking demon hole 2 feet from me, but I'm getting wasting my time doing this. So I think it's all about context.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you look at like any video game ever, all of it comes down to go get a thing. Right? Right, like one or another.
Yeah.
Like every entire video game
is a fetch quest.
Yeah, every video game is there's a bad guy. How do we stop it? Magic staff. Where is it? Over there. Okay.
If you think about it, just one big fetch quest.
If you think about it, Last of Us, the whole game is just a fetch quest.
Yeah.
Bring the girl over there.
Life is just a fetch quest, you know? All we're doing is picking stuff up and moving money somewhere else.
Yeah. That's called being an adult.
Yeah. I mean, I hate it.
Same.
When's the new DLC going to drop, boys? When's COVID 2?
Give it like 10 years.
Wally?
Yeah.
We'll go through one more round.
All right. I already did G, so I'll go H.
All right. Please define for me the term haptic feedback.
Okay, so on a controller, for example, if you're pressing the R2 button on the PlayStation, it's the resistance that the controller gives when you're pressing to shoot, for example, or like the actual reverberation in the controller.
I in order for me to accept this, you're going to have to use the phrase voice coil actuators.
Okay, sure. Voice coil actuators.
Yeah, how does that work? Go ahead.
Yes.
Forgive me if I'm wrong here, but I think what you meant to say, it's a special type of sensory feedback that uses voice coil actuators to create a range of pitch sensory vibrations that can move across the surface of an object, right? That's exactly what I meant. Yeah,
that's exactly
how it's written, weirdly 100%. Enough. Like, that's incredible.
I misspoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you have to get that one. So that point goes to Pasquale, no problem.
All right.
All right, Steph. This will be your last one.
Make it
Z. Go after
let's go
Z.
After my name. Find it to Z.
You want Z or you want S?
Do S.
All right. Please define for me the term
SRPG.
SRPG. Yeah. No, hold on. Okay. Using an example.
Okay.
Give me the definition of a speed run.
Oh, okay. A speed run is when a user
using Gone Home as an example.
I can use Gone Home as an example. First, let's define the term. This is when someone utilizes either usually hacks or breaks in the game to finish the game sooner than intended by the developer. And in Gone Home, it would be running through the door to the back wall and pressing the A button to enter it and beating it in a minute.
Dude, that door. I tried to do that trophy for like 3 hours. That door messed me up every single goddamn time. And every time I thought I made it within like the 2 minutes, I think was the time limit. No, turns out it was just bad. Speedrun, a dedicated competitive field in which players attempt to complete a game in the shortest possible time. Speedrunning typically comes with certain parameters or requirements and often makes uses of glitches and exploits.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chris, your last word. What letter would you like?
Let's just go with the X.
I'm going to go with X.
I'm going to give it to you.
There is none.
Oh.
No, actually, there is.
This is the PlayStation list.
It's true, yeah. Xbox, no. The only one for X they have is XP.
Experience points. Yeah.
What is it? What that do, though?
Level you up.
Yeah, but how, though?
You gain little fractions of points that accrue to a specific level that then levels you up to the next point where you have to keep accruing more experience and then in a never-ending loop until you hit the level cap.
I like the way you use the word accrue there. That's a good one.
That's good. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, XP refers to a gradually accrued reserve of points that typically manifest as a level or set of attributes gained awarded to the main character. Hey. Well, there we go. I think after all this, we could officially say that you guys know a couple video game terms, which is pretty... Ooh.
We're all just like fucking nerds. 2 or 3 points.
So. Yeah, it's more or less. Yeah,
nice.
If you guys are interested in this whole list of like a pretty substantial amount of terminology and you know, new information for some people. It's on the PlayStation website. We'll include it in the show notes here. So as long as I remember, which is like honestly 50-50, but anyway.
To be honest, I'm actually pretty excited about this because people just fucking throw terms around all willy-nilly and there's no like text
guideline.
This has become a problem with society in general. People are just learning words that they have no idea what it means, and they're just gonna, you know, kind of superfluously throw it out there, you know, without honestly, man. It's
quite facetious sometimes.
Yeah.
It's very precocious conversation.
I don't want to sound contemporaneous here or anything like that, but I really do think that the educational system is a little
erroneous.
Erroneous is a good word. Yeah, it's very erroneous.
I mean, look at how people have changed the definition of literally.
I fucking hate that.
I mean, from figuratively.
I am so upset with English. Like, it's because people don't know how words work anymore. Ultimate. But do you guys know what the definition of ultimate is?
What it should be or what it is?
No, what it is. What the actual definition of ultimate is.
No.
It means last. It means the last one. The ultimate boss, the final boss, same thing.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
And then Digimon. Oh, Digimon reference. Put the stinger in here, Chris. And then Digimon, they have ultimate level, and then they're like, oh, okay, ultimate, last level evolution. No problem. What do we do? Mega. Mega. You can't do that. You can't go past ultimate. We are losing our words here.
Yeah, because then it's ultimate and it's penultimate, which is the one that's just...
No, penultimate is... Penultimate means before ultimate.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, second last.
Isn't it penultimate?
I do believe in Japanese, yeah, maybe it's penultimate, it's not... Ultimate is not what the level is called for the third tier.
No, it's mega.
I think that was... Yeah, it's totally different in Japanese.
I have no problems with the Japanese. I have a problem with English right now, okay? Because we're using words that we don't even know what they mean anymore.
Do you want to know like what the most like upsetting English sentence is that's grammatically like correct?
Go for it.
I think you've said this before. And
buffalo, 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 yeah. Buffalo, 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 buffalo. That is a perfect grammatical English sentence.
You're gonna have to walk us through that one. I'll be honest.
So, Buffalo, the city.
Yeah.
Buffalo, the animal.
Okay.
The verb buffalo means to outwit or confuse, deceive, or intimidate. So, Buffalo, the city. Buffalo, the animal. Buffalo, the city. Buffalo, the verb. Buffalo, buffalo. Buffalo, buffalo.
I'm so lost.
Buffalo does not sound like a word to me anymore.
It's like when you're doing like logo treatment and you have to try fonts and you're like, I don't know what my name means anymore. These are just shapes, not letters.
Okay, so it goes play proper noun, noun, proper noun, noun, verb, verb, proper noun, noun.
Dude, I got respect for anybody who's learning English as a second language, just in general. Sorry that we did this. I don't know why. I don't know how it happened.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know buffalo was a verb.
I didn't know buffalo was an animal.
Well.
Yeah, or a city. I've never heard of buffalo before.
No one does.
Nope.
Anyway, hey.
The armpit of America.
Boomstinger. Hey, so as we get closer to Sony's big revamp of PlayStation Plus, more and more news is slowly trickling out. And now, for the first time, we have an official list of what games you will be able to play for free as long as you upgrade to PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium for the PlayStation 4 and PS5. So let's run through this list. So, you know, there is going to be more than 700 games are going to be available. When the service launches, we don't have that full list just yet, but we do have a pretty good start here. And I want to get your opinion on how you guys feeling about this, you know, I think for the most part, these are PS4 and PS5 games. So we got Alienation. We got Ashen. We got Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Bloodborne, Celeste, City Skyline, Concrete Genie, Control Ultimate Edition, Days Gone, Boo, Dead Cells, Dead Nation Apocalypse Edition, Death Stranding and Death Stranding Director's Cut, Demon's Souls, and this is the Blue Point remake, the PS5 version of Demon's Souls, Destruction All-Stars, Everybody's Golf, Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition, Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, God of War, Gravity Rush 2, Gravity Rush Remastered, Hollow Knight, Horizon Zero Dawn, Infamous First Light, Infamous Second Son, Knack, Little Big Planet 3, LocoRoco 2 Remastered, LocoRoco Remastered, Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy, Marvel's Spider-Man, Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, Matterfall, Medieval, Mortal Kombat 11, Naruto Shippuden, there's a lot of Asian names, NBA 2K22, Outer Wild, Patapon 2 Remastered, Patapon Remastered, Red Dead Redemption 2, Resident Evil, Rezogun, Returnal, Shadow of the Colossus, Soul Calibur 6, Soul Calibur 6 confirmed, Tearaway Unfolded, The Artful Escape, The Crew 2, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us Remastered, The Last of Us Left Behind, Uncharted 4 A Thief's End, Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection, Uncharted The Lost Legacy, Until Dawn, and Wipeout Omega Collection. These are all the games that will be available for you to play for free if you upgrade to the PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium Tier version.
And you can download these, correct? Because they're PS4 games.
That is correct. These are all a mix of PS4 and PS5 versions. So Assassin's Creed Valhalla, for example, you have access to both the PS4 and the PS5 version for that game. You could choose which one you would like to download.
Nice. Don't get me wrong. I love Game Pass with my whole heart. But this library is way better.
It's not a good library.
It's different. I've played a lot of these games that I would play, so like I don't need to go back to them. But if I'm jumping,
yeah,
and I've never played these games, dude,
definitely worth it.
Come on, yeah, it's like every game worth playing in the last 10 years.
Pretty much, right? Like this is for the most part, it has a lot of PlayStation's heavy hitters, right? Sure, yeah. We're not. They've already went out and they said, like, hey, we don't want to like put out our big first party games on this Game Pass equivalent system here, right? And they have the right to do that. That's fine. They say that it'll harm the industry overall, which who knows? Maybe they're right about that. We don't know how things are going to look like in like 5 to 10 years from now. But this selection of game, like, there's some stuff here that I'm surprised to see, like Marvel's Guardian of the Galaxy, which came out like at the end of last year. I know that game apparently didn't do too well, or it didn't perform as well as Square Enix wanted it to. But that's still, like, in my opinion, that's like one of the best games released last year.
I think that's also because people were really hesitant to go after it after like the colossal fail, which was Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah,
I think Square Enix is just cashing in on these big paychecks because they put on Game Pass too, so they're like, whatever.
I think that's what it, money. I mean, like, that's the interesting thing as well now, right? Because we're gonna have, you know, these two competing services one way or another. We're gonna have a lot of games that are just gonna be on both, right? Like we're gonna have developers that are playing both sides, so no matter what happens, they come out on top, right? So
what it seems like is gonna happen, sorry Pasquale, you go first. We and Chris talked about it, but I talked about what I feel about it. How do you feel about the collection?
Oh no, I think it's great. Like I know for myself, for a few games on there that I haven't played that I wanted to play, it makes it worth it. Cause like just buying a game alone is $80, $90, whatever, $100. Yeah. So if I'm going to spend $120 for a year and I can play like three games, it makes it worth it.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, right? Like at $120 a year, you're basically saying, there are three games here, maybe three or four games that I want to play.
Yeah.
And like with a catalog of 700 games, you know, plus whatever they end up adding down the line. Like it's one of those things where it's like there's no reason not to do this.
Yeah.
Because if you have a PS4 or a PS5, then like really you're only hurting yourself not getting on this train. Yeah.
If you play two games, you've already made your money's worth. Like,
pretty much. Yeah. And the nice thing about stuff like this, too, is that there are games on this list that, like, you know, I saw the commercials for it. I watched some of the gameplay. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, but I don't want to buy it, right? It's not something I would go out of my way on and pick up. But if it's free and all I have to do is download it.
Yeah, why not?
I probably will now, right? Like that's what it. Yeah, like Everybody's Golf. I'm gonna play the shit out of it.
I am still kind of curious how the developers are getting their money from this when it's like $120 per person a year, and it goes to PlayStation, does it not? Or at least a portion of that does? Like, how much of this money is the developers getting, actually?
So Sony pays for games that are on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, so the...
Okay.
Anyone who's a third party gets a lump sum payment. So it's kind of like PlayStation Plus, where it's like, do you want to release a game on PlayStation Plus? Okay, here's what you get, like, the aggregate of what you we think you would make being sold on our system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if they're like,
a lump sum,
for example, that. Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like, we think you would make, I don't know, $15 million on this. We're like, here you go. And then they'll just put it on PlayStation Plus. You know,
it'll probably be less than that now because it's already out. So it won't give them as much as if it was new. But yeah, exactly.
But yeah, if it was like that, okay.
Yeah, I imagine they would look at how a game performs on other consoles, how much it's selling now, project that over a certain amount of time, and then make an offer to the developers being like, hey, we'll give you like X million dollars if you, you know, allow your game to be on our service, and you'll be paid that up front, and then that's it, right?
So like, do you think that's the reason they won't do first party games like at release?
Yes.
Like, because they just don't know how it will perform.
First of all, every decision ever made is because of money.
Of course.
Yeah. They won't do first party games on release because they know for a fact that if they don't, they will make more money. People buying those first party games.
Yeah.
Than not.
I mean,
because historically, Sony games generally sell like between 5 to 10 million copies.
Yeah, makes sense. Like, for myself, like, if it's nothing I'm super dying to play, I could wait the year till it's probably on the service anyway.
That was my question to you guys was, do you think that we'll see how it goes? We don't know yet, right? So Xbox, there's this thing called like the Game Pass effect, where it's like people are on Xbox are not going to jump to buy games that are third party because they're like, oh, maybe it'll eventually be on Game Pass, so I'll just wait till it comes on Game Pass. Do you think, depending on how they add new games to this PlayStation list, there could be a deleterious effect because it's not immediate like it is on Xbox, that people will decide to wait? Oh, because 100%. On Xbox, I think we have the reverse effect where we know it's free, and so Xbox is counting on people either A, really liking the game and still buying it, or B, spending more money on DLC. But I wonder if there's a worse effect if people don't know when it's going to come, but they will continuously wait until it eventually comes.
I don't think that's something that's unique just to Xbox and Game Pass, right? There are people that refuse to buy certain games because they believe that it'll be free on PS Plus at some point, right?
Like, don't tell John Garvin, he's gonna freak out.
Yeah, they completely believe that this game will be free at some point or another. So why would I give them, you know, like, and it's interesting too, because anytime, you know, whatever service announces they're giving away whatever game for free, there's always somebody who's like, I bought this game 4 years ago when it came out and now it's free. Wow, way to treat your customers. Like, dude.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different though when like you have an apparatus that specifically releases games for free. Like Game Pass is like entirely like net, like that's the whole point.
So the question is, that's the question, right? That's the question that everybody wants to figure out. Does a gaming subscription service hurt releases for games that are not on that service? I think it depends, right? Like, I think there will be a lot of people that will subscribe to this new PlayStation Plus service at the highest tier and then also buy God of War Ragnarok day one. You know,
I would.
What do you mean? 100%. Of course. Of course.
What do you mean? Oh, sorry. I thought you were just saying God of War, like not Ragnarok.
The new one.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, no, people aren't going to be rushing out to get God of War 2016, right?
Like, I don't know.
Which I think is on this list.
On the list. That's why I got confused.
But you know what I mean. But also, like, smaller indie games, also, I don't think will be affected by this too much, right? Because those games that are priced at around that, you know, $20 mark, they have their market, and there's a lot of people that want to go out and support those games and don't like that genre. And then if we recall what else is coming with this, those games above the $34 mark are going to have a free trial for you to play for up to 2 hours anyway. So like it's, but the truth is we don't know how like these services are going to affect the industry as a whole until it already has, right? We can kind of see how Netflix is affecting things, but Netflix is imploding on themselves right now.
I do think Xbox has kind of shot themselves in the foot with Game Pass a little bit when it comes to that. I don't think they care, but I do think there's culturally, like amongst the fan base, of people being like, well, I'll wait till this comes on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For games that aren't first party, because first party comes there right away, so there's no need to worry about that. But those like third party games, like a good example is Guardians of the Galaxy or What the hell was it? I can't remember what it was. No, Outriders came out right away, so never mind. I can't remember what the game is, but there was a game that came out there, like, this is definitely a Game Pass game, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Godfall, I think it took a long time.
Well, I mean, that's something also that we have to get used to, right? These games that are available one day and then will be removed from the service the next day. And then you got to be like, okay, well, do I want to buy it? What if they add it back? What happens to my save data? How does that transfer over, right? Like, it's just a lot of stuff. It's just growing pains, I think, is what it is, right? Like, we're still figuring out how all this shit's going to work out. And the only way to really figure that out is to have the problem show up and then see how they're dealt with. Because that's just kind of how stuff is, you know, is done right now.
I also don't think that we're typical users. Like, I will 100% buy a game if I think it looks interesting, regardless of waiting, because we run a podcast that's about video games. So it's like built into the, looks like Lancer Pasquale. It's built in to be kind of up to date with what's happening
in the video game. Listen, I wasn't the one talking about like 20-year-old consoles.
Actually wasn't a shot. You, Pasquale, play what you want to play, and I respect that. That's good. Like, you should play what you want to play when you want to play it. There's no pressure there. For me, I have like serious FOMO when it comes to games. So like,
that's true.
I want to play the new ones because I consume so much video game content. I hear people talk about it, and then I like want to play it. So that's my own problem.
I own a copy of Halo 5, and I do not own an Xbox One.
In fairness, you're saving yourself a lot of trouble by not playing Halo 5. So,
but I still good, have good job. It.
Yeah, sure.
I think owning Halo 5 is the best part about Halo 5. You've peaked once you've made that transaction.
It just downhill from there.
That's right.
Go ahead.
No, I just think that like there is going to be an effect that these streaming and on demand services have, but whether it's good or bad, we don't know yet. Like you said, like, we don't know until it happens. Xbox is having their own problems with DRM that they're having to figure out, and they haven't fixed it. So I don't know what they're going to do about it. I didn't notice any problems because I only have one console. It's my main console, and I always have internet, so I didn't notice it. But a lot of people were having big problems where consoles that weren't their home console or their master console or whatever you want to call it, even if they had the disc or had the game purchased, they couldn't play it. Because it was digital, there was no way to check the DRM. And that's a big problem for a lot of people, obviously. Mm-hmm. I had a similar problem with PlayStation 2. I should say PlayStation as well. On my PS4, because I had bought one, and then I bought my first PlayStation 4, and then it bricked. And it got like a yellow light of death, like within like 2 weeks of me buying it. And I made that my home console. And then I got it I returned it. I bought the warranty, so I brought it back to GameStop and got it returned. And then they gave me a new one, but the new one, when I signed it, wasn't my home console, so I couldn't play games offline. And so then I had to like go on the computer and do this weird shit to like reset it. Thankfully, there was a way to do it. But yeah, like it's this problem with digital games. I know. I'm usually a proponent of digital games, so. Don't yell at me, YouTube, but there is problems.
Like there's a flaw in having
digital games. I'm not saying there isn't.
I'm just glad that your poor decision making led to some form of hardship for you. That's all.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
I'm glad this happened to you.
Well, fuck.
But anyway.
Oh, we're your friends.
Oh, that was old Patrick. They also did announce some of their classic games that will be available only through the PlayStation Plus premium tier. I'm happy. And as the kids would say, bricked up to announce that both Ape Escape and Ape Escape 2 will be available on the PlayStation Plus premium tier. Let's go, boys. We fought hard for this moment. Ape Escape and Ape Escape 2. Day one purchase. If you haven't played these games, they're magical. They're joyous. They're the closest thing to a Nintendo game that PlayStation has ever touched.
Let's be honest. The real good thing here is that Dark Cloud and Dark Cloud 2.
I was going to mention that. Dude, do you mean Zelda and Zelda 2?
Okay. Well, hold on. Look, we also got Ark the Lad. Twilight of the Spirits. Come on, man.
You're trying to tell me that you can get PlayStation Plus Premium and play the entire Infamous series for $20 a month?
You know, I have not played the Infamous series before, so that was makes it very
that
worth
it. That doesn't surprise me, but at the same time, it kind of surprises me.
Chris is dying.
I'm both like, you know, yeah, that makes sense, but Jack 3, Jack and Daxter, Jack 2, Jack X, Combat Racing, Jumping Flash, Kingdoms of Amalur.
I really love Xbox.
That was a good game.
That was a good game. I never played it. Rogue Galaxy is a great game. That one's going to be there too. Tekken 2, Siphon Filter. We talk about Siphon Filter a lot on the show somehow. Great game. So yeah, hey, and all this is coming like what, next month? We'll be able to officially upgrade it. Yeah. So second or third week of June.
It's one of like those. second or third.
Yeah. I gotta be honest. Like I said, this is hard for me.
Yeah.
This is hard for me to admit.
Yeah.
But I think this is more as more value to me as it is the way I purchase games than
Game Pass. Because you play more, I've noticed like the type of game you play are PlayStation games.
Yes, absolutely.
So you having an Xbox confuses me because this is made for you.
You know what I really think it is? I think it's that, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Microsoft, but Sony actually had games since they started making systems, right? Microsoft always kind of just got by.
Like 360, they had games.
Sony, they lost all the rights to them.
What games?
You know,
well, they had Mass Effect, BioShock,
Halo, Gears of War. Yeah, Gears of War,
and they had Dead Rising.
I've heard three games that are exclusive so far.
They were exclusive when they came out. Is my point? They have lost them. Is what I'm trying to say? Like,
BioShock wasn't exclusive
when it came out. It was.
Sony putting together this game library, they have a lot more to pull from than what Microsoft has access to, right?
So yeah.
It makes sense that from a past value standpoint, Sony's going to be able to pull something out like this and be like, we have all these games, right? Meanwhile, but the exciting thing for me about Game Pass is like what they're getting in the future.
Yeah, I do like indie games, A-tier games. There's a ton of that on Game Pass, and you get it all for free.
Yeah.
And the EA stuff is pretty cool if you like sports games, and if you like some of the stuff EA puts out, because they have not EA. FIFA.
Yeah. Not anymore. I don't think we'd be doing our jobs here as video game reporters if we don't talk about the ultimate game subscription service, which is Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pass, which I'm happy to report this month is adding Earthworm Jim 2.
Oh shit!
Great. I think it's live right now. It's live right now. You can go and play Earthworm Jim 2 right now if you have Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion.
Do you want to talk about a Souls-like game? Mm. You need to play Earthworm Jim. My God, is this so punishing? I have Earthworm Jim, the HD remaster for the PS3, and my God, the difficulty goes like this: easy, normal, hard, very hard, original. Yeah,
I love that. it really does say a lot about a game when like you go when hard when original is like the default. It's like, okay, what's below it? Ridiculous. Like, okay,
what's under it? Easy, medium, and hard.
What was that? There was a game, I think it was Wolfenstein, that had like a little baby setting.
And
like,
yeah.
They would actively make fun of you for using it.
Yeah, it's Don't Hurt Me, Hurt Me Plenty, and then it goes to like Uber.
Yeah, Ubermensch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes to German. Yeah, it gets all German at the end of it.
Yeah, you got to watch out for that. It's German.
I played Wolfenstein The New Order on like one of the hardest settings, and like it was the most punishing thing. It's genuinely Doom, right?
Challenging. Yeah.
Isn't PlayStation getting, sorry to kind of cut back just a second, isn't the PlayStation also getting Ubisoft Plus?
Yes.
Yeah, that was announced recently as well. You're going to have access to another subscription service if you want to just expand your library even more.
Is that a part of?
I think it's included, isn't it?
Is
it included? Yeah. I did not see that. But I do know Ubisoft Plus is going to have like, what, 100 games available on their service and now coming to the PlayStation. So, I mean, you know, hey.
On there too, which is pretty cool.
Really, it is the future, right? Like, everyone's going to put out like a dough. You could get, you know, EA Plus, which is already a thing. Yeah, that's a bad example. You could get Square Enix Extra, because they wouldn't call it Plus. Square Enix Super Plus Ultra.
The Wolfenstein difficulties were Can I Play Daddy? Don't Hurt Me. Bring Him On. And then I Am Death Incarnate, in brackets, Uber.
That's it. Yeah. That's a good one.
Do you think all this subscription services will get to a point where they stop releasing like physical or like individual copies of games and it'll always only be on subscription services?
Well, see, I think that's the problem though, right? Because if everybody ends up getting their own subscription service, they're going to have something there to make people want to actually subscribe to it, right?
Yeah.
So like it would make sense if every once in a while, I'm not going to say it's for every game, right? But if CD Projekt Red come out with like a subscription service, whatever their next game is, maybe have it exclusive to the subscription service to get the people coming in, right? Or, yeah. Or maybe have like certain DLCs or updates will be available first through our subscription service, right? Like you need to have some sort of carrot in order to bait people to come in over, especially as more and more of these things pop up in the market. Not everyone's a good, you just can't subscribe to all of them.
Yeah.
It's just unsustainable. Only the best ones will survive. The rest will be beaten out. That's just how it works.
Correction, by the way, you guys are right. It doesn't come with a subscription. It's that $15 makes sense, yeah. a month. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's not so much like Xbox Ultimate where you get EA Play with it.
Yeah.
Which that's is actually a sweet deal.
All right. Well, that's the update we got for PlayStation Plus Ultra. Hey, that's such a better name for it. God damn it. Let's do some quick news, shall we, boys?
News.
All right, quick news stinger, boom. Hey, if you still haven't gotten a PS5, don't worry about it. Sony just, this is breaking news, by the way. This happened like 60 minutes ago. Sony has reportedly launched a patent for a new model of PS5 in Japan. So it seems that we're going to be getting a PS5, maybe a fat a PS5 2.0 in the works relatively soon. Mm-hmm. I genuinely, like, as a PS5 owner, I physically don't see how they're going to make a stronger machine.
It might not be stronger. It's probably just different looking.
It's got to be a thin version of it, right? Like,
I don't know.
I've seen that now that computer parts are starting to level off, especially I think it's NVIDIA parts are starting to become more available, unlike the AMD stuff, that like we might start seeing more powerful things just coming from different companies. NVIDIA has already put out job postings for a possible successor to the Nintendo Switch. It's not in the description itself, but like it's hinting at working at a new.
Oh, I think I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's too early for a PS 5.2?
No. I think if it's a physical change, no. I know they're already working on the Pro version, but if it's like a different body, I don't see why not.
So according to the design certification that was approved by Japan's Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications, it appears to be a new CFI-1200 series model listed on the specification. It also notes updated radio equipment needed to meet the latest radio and wireless communication equipment standard.
5G?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, they're putting 5Gs in your PS5s, baby. That's what the 5 stands for.
There you go.
PS 5G, dudes.
That's how much it's going to cost.
That's the funniest thing you've ever said in your life. That was such a good... That was an actual joke.
Yeah.
That was good, man.
Thanks.
It's almost as good as Looney Tunes.
Shut the fuck up. I still stand by that.
You shouldn't. You should not stand by that. When do you think we're going to get to the point? And like, honestly, I feel like we could have gotten there last generation, but when do you think we're going to get to the point where like we're done with generations and it's just modular upgrades? Do you think do you think we're ever going to get that? Do you think we're always going to like a PS6, a PS7, even though it's like minimal upgrades that, you know, don't really make much of a difference anymore?
I think just because of the way society is that we live in a throwaway society. So like it's always going to be a get the new thing, throw out the old one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be more like phones than computers. I think it's going to go quicker model releases, minimal upgrades.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what happened with that phone that was supposed to be modular and then Sony bought them and then destroyed their mobile division.
Oh yeah.
No, Motorola bought them and then they got bought by somebody else and then they threw it in the garbage. Like, I'll get this out of here.
If you make it modular, then you might as well just buy a PC. Like, it's
yeah.
Not
it's
really
a Steam box at that point, right?
Yeah.
Xbox has skipped past this, and I think there's a rumor they're developing an Echo Dot like device that will go into TVs and just be streaming only for Game Pass. So, and they're like working with Samsung TVs to make a Game Pass app.
So you're telling me you have TVs. To buy a whole new basically TV? That's smart.
It's going to be the Google Cloud bullshit.
Exactly. They're just doing it better than Google because they're more straight up.
Honestly, if I could go into like Best Buy and like right next to like the Google Chrome extensions, there's like a Game Pass, you know, plugin, I'd buy that. Why not?
If I could put a memory card in it, yeah, I'd do it.
Yeah, if I could just plug in an HDMI and you're set to go, yeah, like a Fire Stick, exactly.
Plug it in, that's it.
If they allowed you to buy that expansion memory that you can get for your Xbox Series, that looks like a memory card, and put that in there, you like get 500 gigs of space.
Nice.
And actually save it, I would do that. I wouldn't want to stream it. Streaming, Chris was right about this before when it first got announced. It's just not there yet.
Yeah, we don't. So it's not. We have the technology. We don't have the infrastructure.
That's right.
Yeah.
One day.
So I don't know if you guys remember a while ago, we talked about a game called Axie Infinity, which is a NFT-based game. Yeah. Apparently, their economy just completely collapsed.
Tanked?
Yeah. Crypto Pokemon clone currency plunges to less than a penny. The value of Axie Infinity's breeding potions crash along with Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the rest of the crypto market, which, if you're not a crypto bro like me, you're not in on all those sweet-ass NFTs. Everything's on fire, and people are losing millions. And apparently, it's extending to video games as well.
It just goes to show that, like, the flavor of the week just comes and goes sometimes.
Yeah, and you know what? It is sad because there are people that treated this game as an investment, and they put money into it, and they were in some, you know, in some form, some of them were making money, and now their SLP or smooth love potions are worth nothing.
But the problem is that you got too many people that were doing pump and dumps and weakening like the authenticity of stuff, and you get like a bunch of people that are oversaturating the market, and then who wants to really be a part of that? Because like, how do you know when the rug is going to be pulled from underneath your feet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, if you were somebody who was waiting for a good time to get into the you know, play to earn Axie Infinity market, this might be the best time, you know, because as of right now, the Axie Infinity's SLP is currently valued at 0.004 cents. Rounding down gives you zero, gives you free. Nothing. So it's a free to play game right now. So you just get in there. You just have to, you know, put in the initial investment of $500 to gain access. But once you do that, you're set, dude. Get in on the crypto bro market.
Yeah.
And in other quick news, Team Fortress 2 players are protesting the game's massive bot problem. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but about 2 years ago, in mid-2020, the source code for Team Fortress 2 leaked.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since then, the game has been on fire. there is a massive problem with bots, and people are just done with it. They're protesting it. They're not playing. They're logging in, but they're not touching anything. Some of them are leaving their accounts suspended. They're just protesting a video game in any way that you can protest a video game until something gets done about the bots, which are a serious issue. Like, if you were to start playing, it's an old game, but if you were to jump in there right now, you would immediately have to deal with bots that are better than you.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting problem to have, honestly. It's an old game. I know Team Fortress 2 is really popular, but like, the game's older than me at this point.
I fucking love that game.
At some point
in
time, yeah. Well, apparently, it's a lot of fun, but it's less fun right now. So that's the problem right now. Yeah.
Why would Valve ever make a new game when the two games they have that are like consistently making them money?
No, yeah,
all the time.
You're describing the same problem that Rockstar has with, you know, GTA 5, Bethesda has with Skyrim. Why make a new game when old game do trick, you know? So it doesn't make sense.
No one's telling them to make a new one. Like, I mean, like, they are with their mouth, but they're not telling them with their wallet.
Exactly.
you could be like Blizzard and just say that your Overwatch 2 is like your new game, but it's basically Overwatch 1.1.
Yeah, I think it's the update. It's like the worst in Destiny 2.
We've changed the color palette. I don't know
if this applies to the character. Have you guys ever played a game that you spent a lot of hours into? I assume that if this were to happen, it probably would have been when you guys were, you know, when all of us were a little bit younger. But you had like your go-to game, and then one day something happens and it just goes to shit. Have you ever had that experience?
What do you mean goes to shit? Like,
I don't know. However you want to interpret that. however that makes sense to you, that's how I mean to say it.
Well, look at the World of Warcraft thing. Look how many people left after all the allegations, and or even when Activision bought in.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting case too, because that's like external stuff that the average person doesn't know anything about, right?
You mean like the quality of the game went down because of something happened to it?
I'm talking about like there's an update and it destroyed everything. Because I had something similar like that happen to me. An MMO that I played a lot of at the end of high school, grade 12 going into college, was Rift, which was a really good game. I loved it. It was like the game that I would play every night. I was in a guild. I would jump in the vent, talk to the boys. We'd raid
the Ventrilo servers.
Ventrilo Silver, example. We'd do our raids. We get our loot. And then one day they announced, hey, Rift is going free to play. It won't be a monthly subscription. And all of us were like, that's pretty good. And then we realized what it meant. And the game was flooded with, you know, premium currencies and new cosmetics, and like it was a nightmare. And one by one, people just stopped playing, right? You know, old Dirty D, he didn't log on anymore. You know, the Bloodlust, he was gone, dude. For the man formerly known as Friday, left the guild entirely. And it killed the game. And I had a disgusting amount of hours put into that game, and then the free to play update came and I just lost all interest, you know.
I used to play a lot of RuneScape when I was younger, and then when RuneScape upgraded from RuneScape Classic to like the newer one, like that was a lot of people just jump ship.
Yeah,
for me it was WoW did it when they moved from vanilla, like Burning Crusade ruined it and I stopped playing. And then I would say, I think it was Modern Warfare 2. There was a bunch of modders that really fucked that game. And it was like almost unplayable because of hackers.
Jesus.
And I stopped playing Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. It is sad, right? I mean, it's an interesting thing now with like current games where, like, you know, they are living, breathing things for the most part. It's not like how games used to be where you shipped them out the door and that's it. They have problems that need to be addressed, and sometimes when you try to fix things, you just destroy everything else in the process, right? But yeah, it's an interesting thing. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got for quick news. I don't know if there's anything you guys want to bring up.
You know, Overwatch is a good example for this for me, because once they started making that you could only play as a support character if you waited in a long queue. And you could only play as 2 DPS, 2 support, and 2 tanks. Like, you couldn't do 3 DPS or 4 DPS or 4 tanks. Like, you were role locked.
Yeah.
Once they introduced that, I was like, this is stupid. Like, I don't want to deal with this. And it was, they even put it in quick play. Like, the whole point of quick play is just to mess around. But they roll locked it, and then they made it the times to play DPS 7 to 10 minutes. Whereas, like, if you wanted to play a tank or a healer, you could be in 35 seconds.
When I played it in ranked, it was whoever picked it first. They removed that.
No, it's whoever picked it first. But like, that's if you're doing like competition or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But like, if you're just trying to do quick play, like it's roll locked, and then you got to sit in a queue for like 7 to 10 minutes.
That's so stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah. But for other news, really Saudi Arabia owns 5% of Nintendo now.
Oh my god! No, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a Saudi Arabian prince
bought 5% of Nintendo. You're gonna have to slightly explain this one.
No way, for real? That's really sad. Actually, that guy's fucked up.
So, Saudi Arabia, like
the crown prince or whatever,
It's like the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund has officially acquired 5.01% stake in Nintendo after filing has been made with Japan's finance ministry, joining Capcom, EA, and other gaming investments made by public in So
they're really awful people. Not Saudi Arabians, to be clear.
We haven't mentioned China in a good while, and now you're just digging another grave right next to it.
I'm just saying they like do really awful like. Like apartheid, not nice things.
China and Saudi Arabia. Got a problem with anybody else's government?
Yeah, they also own 96% of SNK.
Yeah, so. It's not good. It's not good. They're really,
Yeah. Well,
it might be worse than China.
That makes them the fifth largest shareholder of Nintendo stock.
Man, I don't like that. Gotta sell my Switch now.
Shit.
To be fair, it is like a seven-year-old system.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not losing money.
It is time to move on, I think. But that's fine. Hey, yeah. You know, look, it's
thank you, Chris, for telling me that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you've upset him genuinely now. That's good. All right, let's upset him further. Let's play some verses.
Speaking of moving on.
Yeah, speaking of moving on from that one. Let's play some verses. Hey, if you're new to the show, this is Versus. This is a segment where two of us are randomly selected and given randomly selected video game characters and randomly selected... I've lost it. What are we doing? Hey, everybody, this is Versus.
You should just pre-record this and just
I don't know why we haven't done that yet, dude. Anyway, this is the ultimate form of the academic debate, boys and girls, where two of us are given two video game characters and a situation in which we are forced to debate to the death for our characters in that given situation. It could not possibly be clearer than that.
We all fight for the winning title of Master Debater.
That's true. We got a chime for that now. We've upgraded the show, boys. That's where all the extra ad money's going. Anyway, hey, Chris, you have the master sheet for Versus pulled up in front of you.
I do. As last week's Master Debater, I will be judging, and this week's contestants, Pasquale Galuzzo.
Fuck.
And Stefano Fontana.
Oh, my God.
MG.
Which makes
Patrick deep, so this will be fun.
The time bitch.
I get to be the time bitch. All right. I'm good with that. I got my time bitch implements ready here, boys.
All right. Pasquale, because you went first last time, I will make Steph be first one.
Okay.
This might be a hindrance to you, but Stefano, your character is Clementine from Telltale's The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Pasquale, your character is Monica from Doki Doki Literature Club.
I know nothing about that.
Oh. Fuck. Just start Monica. Googling.
Well, let's your get situation, that wiki page pulled up.
Oh yeah, that's
your situation is who would win in the California All-State Karate Championship?
Oh, sorry, wow, say that again.
Who would win in the California All-State Karate? Sorry, All-State Valley Karate. Championship. It's
specifically California.
The reigning champion.
This is the Karate Kid reference.
We've just learned that Pasquale has never watched Karate
Kid. I did watch Karate Kid. I just forgot.
All right.
Daniel LaRusso, reigning champion.
So, there we go.
Kick, by the way.
Okay, hold on. we don't have time to get into that.
We can bring in the Saudi Arabian government, but do not bring in the illegal kick from Karate Kid. All right.
Well, the stage has been set.
Daniel LaRusso was the villain.
The stage has been set.
That's the new topic. Who's the villain of Karate Kid?
The characters have been distributed. Stefano, you will be debating in favor for Clementine from the Telltale Walking Dead series. Pasquale, you will be debating in favor for Monica, the well-known and beloved character from Doki Doki Literature Club.
I love Monica. I love
Monica. Everyone knows much about her. I'd be surprised if you didn't. And hey, situation, who will win in the California All-Valley Karate Tournament? Stefano, You get opening statement here while Pasquale frantically reads the wiki. You have 30 seconds. Your time starts now.
Clementine from The Walking Dead. This is the true survivor in the world. She was a little child at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, and she learned to grow, survive, adapt, and kill zombies ad nauseum. She took the harshest conditions, made it through, and she could pretty much learn anything under pressure. There's no chance that if you gave her 1 week of training with Mr. Miyagi, that she wouldn't be that champion. That crane kick, illegal or not, she'd be winning that tournament. No chance, in my mind.
Yeah. All right.
Very nice.
Solid opening statement. Pasquale, the time has come to hear this.
All right.
Your time starts now, please.
All right, so Monica is self-aware of what she is, and she has the abilities to alter the person's personality and actions. So she can change her opponent to think they don't know anything about karate. I see Chris is laughing. I'm probably totally off right now. But she can just change everything, make her the other person's personality not want to fight.
Okay.
Chris, how are you feeling?
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's about
second,
it.
He was just, I thought for a second he was just going to read the Wikipedia page.
I felt like that's what he was getting for a second.
The way he was formulating his sentences there, he's like, Monica is a character from Tokyo. First released. And okay, Stefano, your rebuttal to that. Your time starts now, sir.
Clementine raised a baby in the middle of the zombie apocalypse, survived, killed, and made hard choices about who to get rid of, what limbs to chop off to keep them alive. I don't care what you make her forget or change about her personality, there's no chance she doesn't win that karate tournament. She will figure it out innately in her soul, regardless of what you think about her personality, that she's the winner. She will adapt, she will survive, and she will crane kick everyone in the face. I don't even need 5 seconds. Cut her off. I got nothing left.
Confident. So keep going. All right. I feel like Stefano has done a much better job at laying the foundation of, you know, who his character actually is.
I mean, it helps when you know the character.
To be fair, I'm not the judge, though, so I have to be impartial here. But Pasquale, your 20 seconds starts.
No, 20.
We'll see. Go ahead.
So Monica can exist even when she has been deleted. So if she gets beaten in her karate championship, no matter what happens, she will just come back. She can still fight. She's always there, giving her all. All right. Clementine, she's fucking a little kid. She's gonna just like beat the shit out of her. No problem.
She's a fucking little kid. She's a fucking little kid. You know. I like how like this is like somebody like vaguely described to you what this game is about, and you're just
to be honest, I have no idea what Dokioki Literature Club is, so this sounds
totally
right to me.
Off.
Okay, homework for you guys next week is to play Dokioki Literature Club and film yourselves playing it.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't play it on Xbox, can I?
Yes, it's on the Switch.
It's on the Switch. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right.
Yeah.
Is it free?
It is on the PC.
Oh, okay.
All right, Stefano, your closing argument, and Chris will then deliberate who the winner is after mm-hmm. Pasquale does his. Mm-hmm. Your time starts now.
Clementine watched her parents die. She watched her surrogate father die in her arms, eaten by a zombie. I think she had to leave him so that he could turn and kill himself. I remember the ending of that game correctly. If you think some lame-ass computer program who can get deleted is going to beat this surviving of the zombie apocalypse little girl who was like 7 when the apocalypse happened, you have another thing coming. This girl, I bet all my money on Clementine. She is the true one karate champion.
All right. Solid closing argument. We're gonna talk a little bit just to give Pasquale time to read any relevant facts he can from the wiki.
I'm not finding
all right.
shit.
That's about it. Pasquale, your closing statement in support of Monica from Dokidoki Literature Club. Your time starts now.
Since she is part of the literature club, she has definitely read all there is to know about karate. She's definitely gonna take all that knowledge and all that experience of reading about it and put it into action. She will do whatever it takes to become the champion of this karate competition. Just, and I see the time, and you know what? I don't need it. That's it.
All right. Well, it's always good when someone gives up in the last round of deliberations there. Chris, you've heard our contenders opening rebuttal and closing statements. Mm-hmm. Please deliver us your deliberation.
You know, it's very interesting when someone argues for a point and then fails to even mention like the part where they're trying to justify something.
Yeah, that happens often in this game.
It does happen.
I'm not good at this game.
not just you, all of us.
It wasn't until the third round where Pasquale thought to mention like being in a literature club where like she might have learned to fight. I do like the idea that visually in my head I pictured a zombie Mr. Miyagi teaching Clementine karate since he's been dead for the better part of like a decade or so.
That's sad. R.I.P.
Yeah.
True legend.
I'm just gonna go scoring point for point as you would like in a karate match.
Sure.
And each round Stefano kind of hit a little bit more on participating and fighting in a karate championship versus being a sentient AI program. So.
That would help in this situation.
Yeah. And in this situation, even if you were able to reconstruct yourself after being deleted, you still lose points after being hit in a karate championship. So my pick for this week, Master Debater Stefano.
You can't have silent celebrations on an audio-only podcast. It doesn't work. It just leaves an awkward pause.
I like the pregnant pauses. They're really good for me.
Well, congratulations, Stefano, for winning this week's round of Versus. That means that you will be the judge for next week's hot debate.
And maybe. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say maybe Pasquale has a chance.
Yeah. I'm pretty impressed that he made half the argument he made, considering he was reading the wiki for the first time without knowing
what it was. Word for word.
Like I'm impressed.
Did Remember, not know this school, character you whatsoever. Show up to
class and they're like, we have a test today. It's like, oh, do we? I'll be right back.
I thrived on that.
Now that you've finished playing Ghost of Tsushima, do yourself a favor. This game is only like maybe 2 hours long.
Okay.
Go download it off of Steam and come back next week and please tell me how it went for you.
I don't know. 2 hours of dedicated video game time between now and next week. I don't know, man.
More so just you just reading. You could do this at work if you
okay. Really... Fair enough.
He's like, I read books all the time and play solitaire.
I can read.
I just read half the Wikipedia page.
I would maybe not play it in front of a coworker or somewhere where you can be seen.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe not download it at work. Okay.
Did you just watch it?
Couldn't watch it?
If you're going to watch it, I highly recommend and shout out to the Game Grumps. Watch the Game Grumps version because Aaron Hansen has like the best version of narrating Monica's voice, and I cannot unhear Monica's voice unless it is being read as Aaron Ego Raptor Hansen.
Does it go
no so the way they read it in their playthrough of this is they have like Sayori, who's got like a typical like I'm a girl kind of voice, and then Monica they read her as a sentient robot, so it's like, hello friend Aaron, I am Monica. And like they will put in like sections where like it's like error.
Is Danny Sexbang still part of
Danny is definitely part of Game Grumps.
I fucking love him, he's the best.
And Danny Avedan,
his jokes about his dad are hilarious.
Danny's quite funny.
Well, hey, if you like this episode of the Let's Talk About Game Crumbs podcast, you can leave us a review on Apple iTunes or anywhere that podcasts can be reviewed. You can also catch our episodes every Friday, every week, on Apple iTunes, Stitcher. Not Stitcher. Why are we not on Stitcher? It's part of the recap now, dude. Stitcher. Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, Anchor FM.
Anchor.
And hey, I've been your host, Patrick Dennehy. Joined with me this week, the boys. Chris Monpetit.
Error.
Stefano Fontana.
Keep your stick on the ace.
And Pasquale. Yep, there it is. He was driving himself for it.
The peak level.
Oh
my god.
Sorry. Fun, Chris. That was the next one.
Bye.
I see it.
Goodbye.
Bye.